Management
now
Security
everywhere.
And Service.
Now at a great value. 36 month
bond contract.
Call
early
today.
ADT
is
always there.
Markets
now everywhere.
See terms and pricing at ADT.
36 month monitoring contract.
Early termination taxes and
cell
fees apply. Certain markets excluded.
See terms and pricing at ADT.com.
And I go everywhere.
I used to wonder why people took their own
cool
all
night
keeps
it shape.
I got
on my pillow.
Money back guarantee.
I go everywhere with
year warranty.
Stay
cool all
night. Go to mypillow.com.
60-day money back guarantee and a
10-year warranty.
Made in the USA.
Go to
mypillow.com.
To go anywhere.
Click on the
four
for half
special.
Enter promo code USA
or call 1-800-951-8175.
To go anywhere. Pillows for half
promo code.
Go to mypillow.com or call 1-800.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says Iran is getting more and more involved in Syria. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more from Washington.
They have become more willing and more capable.
Just days after Secretary Pompeo threatened Iran with new sanctions if it doesn't change its policies, including when it comes to Syria, he told a House hearing that Iran is moving sophisticated weaponry into that war-torn country, trying to further destabilize the volatile Middle East.
The weapon systems that they have moved into Syria have become more capable. That is, their capacity to threaten the region, including Israel, has increased over those same 24, even 36 months now.
And Pompeo again defended in front of lawmakers the president's decision to pull the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal, arguing the Obama-era accord actually made it easier for Iran to secure a nuclear weapon.
Your final numbers on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed the day up 52 points to end at 24,866. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
It's estimated that 20 service members commit suicide every day when they return home from the battlefield. But what is being done to help those members cope with some of the things they may have saw? Well, Adam LeGrand is with a group called CaninesForWarriors.org. And what they do is they pair dogs with service members when they get back home. Adam talks about his experiences with his dog, Molly.
There are many veterans just like me, close to 500 now, that are graduating, and they give us our life back. There's a good motto that Canines has called New Leash on Life. And that's exactly what Molly and all the other service animals that have graduated right through the program do.
Adam also shares his very personal story about how close he was to committing suicide.
My best friend in the world caught the signs and symptoms because he's a fellow veteran. And he put a stop to it, helped me get the help I needed. Started looking online about a year and a half later. I was on the cannonball headed up to the Bronx about a year and a half later. And my other best friend caught me in the middle of a panic attack and got me off the train where I started throwing up. Next thing you know, meds and therapy just aren't enough, and she was responsible for helping me find Canine.
Airline experts believe over 230 million people will fly between June 1st and August 31st. The economy is the main reason. As the economy turns around, more and more people have money to fly, and the average price of an airline ticket is right around $330. And finally, it was back on this date in 1934, Bonnie and Clyde are shot to death by Texas and Louisiana state police. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Welcome to Destination Hockey. We have a wonderful show in store for you today. We have Patrick Dowd coming on to talk about Lou Lamoriello. It's an absolutely fabulous time for the New York Islanders fan base as we finally have some new leadership, a new president of hockey operations. It's also a beautiful time in Hunterdon County. Right now the weather is 80 degrees. It is sunny and perfect weather outside. Tomorrow it will also be 80 degrees and sunny. On Friday, it will be sunny and 84 degrees. The weekend, however, it will be a little less hot outside. It will be 70 degrees with a chance of thunderstorms all weekend. It will be mostly cloudy and thunderstorms throughout the weekend. So we have a great episode in store. Please stay tuned. We'll have a short break and then be right back with Patrick Dowd.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
So let's play a little bit of Guess the Speaker, because first, before we get with Patrick Dowd to talk about Lou Lamoriello. I do want to talk about the biggest storyline, not just in hockey potentially, but possibly all of sports. So, this is a quote that was said a few months ago. We'll be pretty good in 3 years, and we'll make a run in 5 or 6. So let's take a second to guess the speaker. So if you're an avid hockey fan, you can probably guess that that was Golden Knights owner Bill Foley. And this is a guy who had a team with potential, a lot of good players, and he had confidence. They were confident they'd do well, but he thought they'd be good in 3 years and potentially contend for a cup, not even win a cup, just make a run in 5 or 6 years. So what do the Vegas Golden Knights do? They prove their owner wrong, and they go out and make a Stanley Cup final run. Absolutely crazy story. It's equivalent to the Miracle on Ice in the Olympics and just a fabulous story to behold. I can't even believe it's happening. And this time, they beat the Los Angeles Kings. A lot of people predicted it. They beat the San Jose Sharks. Less people predicted it. But they go against the Winnipeg Jets. And this is a team that was the second-best team in hockey. They had just a complete team, if not more complete, 4 solid lines, a great defense, and Connor Hellebuyck, a net, who's a great goaltender. And Vegas loses game one. They were absolutely dominated in game one. They scored a few goals, but it really wasn't a good showing. And a lot of people, including myself, were saying, I still have hope, and Vegas could win, but I was saying at that point, the run could come to an end. But the Golden Misfits, as their nickname is, they win the next 4 games. The Winnipeg Jets have lost 3 games. Their biggest losing streak is 3 games up until this point. Vegas beats them 4 times in a row. No other sports league, whether it's the NFL, the MLB, the NBA, or college or anything, can top this type of story. This is as good as it gets in the sports world. You never see this in any other sport, and that's, again, in my opinion, why the NHL playoffs, and especially the NHL, it's just the best sport out there. This is like a combination. I'm just thinking of recent ones. You have Tim Tebow for the Broncos, Jeremy Lin for the New York Knicks, Bartolo Colon for the Mets hitting that home run and just playing until it seems like he'll be 70 years old. This is better than all of those combined. The Vegas Golden Knights are an expansion team. They did not have a team a year ago. They were 500-1 odds in Vegas, their own home, and they are in the Stanley Cup final. This could be one of the greatest stories in sports history. And I talked about it a few weeks ago. Actually, last time I had Patrick Dowd on the show, before I interviewed him, we talked about, is this an embarrassment for the NHL? There is a team that is just completely dominating every other team that have been around for decades, even centuries almost, hundreds of years the NHL has been around, 100 years, excuse me. And you're just having the Vegas Golden Knights just beat them every night, just every time they go out there, best home record in the NHL. And it was embarrassing. A lot of fan bases were embarrassed that this team already has more playoff series wins than them, just the whole works. But I just think, when you need to turn the tables for a second. Embarrassing would be the NHL charging Bill Foley $500 million and then sticking a new franchise in Las Vegas with a hockey-hungry crowd, a fan base that just wants good hockey, and giving them a last-place team for 10 years like we've seen before. That would be an embarrassment. What we have now is a miracle. The NHL immediately built a hockey town. Vegas is not the classic, you know, oh, it'll take a few years to start building up the crowd. Season tickets are low. Vegas is just on a frenzy right now, and hockey is their main priority. They put a team in Vegas, the NHL did, before any other league. MLB, NFL, NBA, they didn't trust Vegas as a sports market. The NFL's coming over. They put Oakland. The Raiders will be moving over in a few years. That's only because they saw the success that Vegas was having. What the NHL did really was beautiful. It is a story of epic proportions. I've never seen it before. I'm excited to talk about it every week just because it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. The only other team to make the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season was the 1967-1968 St. Louis Blues. But, this is a big but, this was at a time when the league had just 12 teams, 8 made the playoffs, and an expansion team in that year had to make the cup. So completely flawed statistic. And another stat I love, 29-10-2 at home in the regular season. Vegas lost 12 games at home. That is unfathomable. They fed off the energy of the crowd and really just were one of the best home teams in the entire league. When they were wearing that gray sweater, they were unstoppable. And just the confidence of this team is off the charts too. Derek Englund, who's the alternate captain, who has called Vegas his offseason home long before since joining the Vegas Golden Knights when he was in Calgary, he not only accepted the trophy that you get for winning the Western Conference Finals, what he did was just, this was great. Because in hockey, there's a stereotype, not stereotype, there's this urban legend, this myth, that if you touch the Conference Final trophy, you will lose the Stanley Cup Final because you're not supposed to touch it and be thankful for winning the Conference Final. The ultimate goal is the Stanley Cup. But what does Englund do? He picks up the trophy and skates around with it at the command of Marc-Andre Fleury, because Marc-Andre Fleury has won three cups, and Sidney Crosby every time did this. So what does he do? He listens to his leader, Marc-Andre Fleury, and touches it because that's what he does. That's what this team does. They're so confident. It's almost cocky, but it really isn't. And then the other side of the finals, you have the Eastern Conference Finals. This is even a crazier story in terms of just the two teams that are playing. Obviously, Vegas is one of the biggest stories in sports, but Washington is a story of their own because they are about to go to the Cup if they win Game 7. They've never done that in the Ovechkin era. Ovi has just had ridiculous, and I mean it's just ridiculous at this point, the failures he has had in Game 7s. And I really hope, even being an Islanders fan, I really hope he has some success because Ovi just has never had it. And he's getting some help from the depth guys, which is really nice. Brooks Orpik, who's a sixth defenseman, has really been sensational. He has a gigantic contract. I bet you they'd buy him out if there was no consequence in a second. But he is providing the Capitals with a lot of physicality, which they have dominated on this level. They're beating the crap out of Tampa. And he's giving them stability on the blue line, which was a problem for the Capitals in the past. Braden Holtby is also just playing out of his mind. But in the past, in Game 7s, he's 2-4. So will this? You see a lot. Tuukka Rask did it. Pekka Rinne. They have these demons in their head in Game 7s especially. And they just come out as humans. And they're like, they might be hockey players, but they just show their stress. They're just really not happy to be in net, it looks like. And they get kicked out of net. They get removed. And the backup goalie comes in. So Braden Holtby tonight is the Game 7 at 8 p.m. He just needs to play really, really well and steal the game for Washington. He has been a liability in the past in Game 7s, and that can't happen tonight because you're not going to see an 8-7 game. Washington needs him if they're going to win. And then with Tampa, their depth scoring has really been bad lately. They are shuffling around their lines like crazy. They're left wingers, which is really funny. Yanni Gourde, Andre Palat, they're shuffling all these players around, JT Miller, on random lines. They're shuffling these lines like it's a dice, just rolling it every night, like randomly. And they're just getting nothing out of their depth scoring. They had some help from the fourth line earlier in the series, but right now they're just struggling for scoring. They need a big goal from one of their depth scorers tonight if they're going to get a win. And now for a prediction. Might be contrary to what I just said. I hope Washington wins. I think there's a chance they do. But they're the Washington Capitals. So I think Tampa's going to pull it out. I don't necessarily want them to or even think they will. But my gut's just telling me Tampa's going to do it. Washington is just not going to win this game. And Tampa's not going to lose this game. They're too strong at home and they're too good of a team. So I'm going to go 5-3 Lightning. Tyler Johnson gets the game winner, and I will go with Victor Hedman gets an empty netter to seal the deal. And the Stanley Cup final will be the Vegas Golden Knights, which no one thought, and then the Tampa Bay Lightning, which were a popular prediction. So thank you so much for listening to that. We will be right back with Patrick Dowd, a.k.a. Sign Guy, to talk about Lou Lamoriello.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental, NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. I am here with Islander superfan Patrick Dowd. We were introduced to him a few months ago, and we again talked to him a few weeks ago. But right now, I feel like this is the culmination of 12 years of really just stress and anguish. But right now, this week is really one of the greatest weeks. I've been a fan. It's just there's so much hope. And as you know, Lou Lamoriello has been signed as the president of hockey operations, and finally there has been some change. So thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about this monumental day.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, so just to start it right off, there's hope again. Fans, there's positivity. There's a lot of predictions going around about what will happen. The John Tavares sweepstakes seem to be taking a turn. And after 12 years, the Islanders have finally made a change. Lou Lamoriello is coming over from Toronto. He was demoted, essentially, to a senior advisor, and he is now taking over the Islanders organization, essentially. How big is this decision for the franchise?
It's huge. It's actually historic because this is the first time in years that the Islanders have actually gone out and got a qualified professional who's been around hockey for years making some major decisions. It's unprecedented, actually, because it's historic. It's amazing. First time in history, you look at all the Islander changes over the top with management and with ownership, and here's the first time somebody qualified comes in with the credentials to turn this storied franchise into the greatness it deserves to be again.
Yeah, and the timeline is really interesting to look at, and you started to have the Islanders be the laughingstock of the NHL recently, but now the tide has completely shifted. Rival executives are jealous, and they've said it. Elliot Freeman was talking on TSN Vancouver about how rival GMs are jealous that Lou Lamoriello was able to talk to John Tavares, and how they're just so – it's unbelievable that Lou Lamoriello is able to come in and just turn the Islanders around. So the timeline, Lou Lamoriello said this – Islanders owner Scott Malkin spoke with the Leafs, Larry Tannenbaum, for permission during the Leafs' playoff run. This was right before Lou Lamoriello was essentially demoted. And Lamoriello was approached again by Tannenbaum right after the Leafs were eliminated. And again, it was too soon, so they waited a little bit. But then conversations started to occur between Scott Malkin and Lou Lamoriello. The momentum built. And on Monday, it was reported that he had officially agreed to join the Islanders front office. So this is gigantic. But he officially joined on Monday. The week before, while Doug Weight and Garth Snow were in Denmark, he was talking with John Tavares. So that's really interesting. I've never seen that before. I don't know about you. But how did that affect John Tavares' potential decision this summer?
I'm going to say it is probably a big plus, if not maybe the icing on the cake, in my personal opinion. And again, I don't have a crystal ball. But as I said previously on the shows, David, I really feel that John Tavares likes where we are here. He's pretty much given everything he could want. You've got your practice facility out in Long Island that's maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes from his home. State-of-the-art, nevertheless. New arena coming in, and then interim games before that's built at the Coliseum. Guys like Barzal and so forth. I mean, if I'm John Tavares and I have someone like Lou coming in, I'm thinking to myself, hey, boy, this ownership here is really serious about taking us to the next level. They've got the resources. They've been getting things done. So if I'm John Tavares, I'm thinking, man, just about everything in front of me that I need is right there. It's just a matter of winning and being successful to hoist a cup one of these days.
Yeah, and his problems in the past, we know that. The Islanders were not exactly utilizing him while he was under contract for only $5 million per year. We know that.
Yep.
But it's important to look at the future. The past might have been terrible. He won a playoff series, which was great. But besides that, you know, there were a lot of negatives. But the future is bright, and especially with Lou Lamoriello coming in, I'm seeing everywhere, just he's already planning Kovalchuk. He's already planning all these moves. And say what you want about Kovalchuk, I just think it's great to hear names, people, free agents actually attracted to the Islanders. You haven't heard that in a while, especially with the Brooklyn move. So free agents, do you think there'll be a change with that, possibly wanting these players wanting to come back to Brooklyn, Long Island, and Elmont in the future?
Without a doubt. You have to think about this. You have a couple of things in place here that are perfect stars lined up for free agents wanting to come here. First off, Islanders are a team that's on the move, and they are a team that's growing and leading to a good chance to be champions one of these days up in the future. Again, you talk about the ownership. And, I mean, why not? If you're a free agent and you see this new arena being built, you see this new ownership here who comes in with the resources, they bring in a guy like Lou. And you got John Tavares if he does sign. If not, you got Matt Barzal, et cetera. This is just a great opportunity in general for the Islanders to bring in free agencies, personnel, and also to have, some guys really think about seriously coming over here and competing for a cup one day.
Yeah, definitely. I always remember the Dan Boyle saga. We traded for this guy's rights, a fourth-round pick from San Jose, This guy refused to play for the Islanders. You have Thomas Vanek. This guy refused to play in Brooklyn. And I just get the sense, I don't know if you agree with me or disagree, that's going to change. The Islanders are going to be a hot spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely, 100%. There's no doubt. In fact, you can count on it. They are definitely going to be a destination. Lou put the icing on the cake here. This is just fantastic. All he's got to do is get Tavares signed, do what he does professionally. The Islanders are in good hands. Again, I've said this in the past. Ownership is really key here, and I'd like to hit on that real quick, because in the history of the Islanders, the ownership has changed hands many times, and you can see the results that have gotten done here in the last, say, 2 years plus with Scott Malkin and John Ledecky. They made some commitments and promises to the public, to the organization, and they have delivered. We'll start with a couple of things. They started with the rink out in Long Island, the practice facility, $7 million beautiful place in Eisenhower Park, state-of-the-art arena, state-of-the-art practice facility, all the amenities. Free agents come over there, look at this place, and say, wow, this is a great place to train. And most of those players live out in Long Island, too, in Garden City, et cetera, so that's all close in proximity. And then, of course, the ownership went out and got the impossible done. And I say impossible because it has been impossible to this point. Charles Juan went out and tried as hard as he could to put his own money with Scott Reckler into the program for the Lighthouse Project, and that was turned down by the town. Of course, the referendum, we all know about that, was voted down by the taxpayers. And here some people have come along, buy this team, and promise this and that, the other thing, and they are delivering. So the arena is key because now the Islanders have a home. Again, we'd be talking earlier in the year where they're going to play, what's going to happen. Well, that's been solved. And good things are happening for Islanders. This is just a great day to be an Islander fan, a great time. Lou is going to be just the perfect person to change his franchise around with the resources that the owners have given him and the commitment that they have delivered to the fans.
Definitely. Lou has such a track record of success with New Jersey. He drafted Martin Brodeur, traded for all these fantastic players, and then I think even more impressive was what he did in Toronto. That was the quickest and most successful rebuild I have ever seen. That was fantastic. They went from the worst to the best, and they're not the best, obviously.
Three years to turn around this franchise, and he did it quickly, and he did have some good resources to work with, too, in terms of the management there that gave him a little bit of a pocketbook to open up. So he did the right thing. He drafted the right people and made a couple of trades here and there, and Toronto's going to be a force for years to come.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to touch on this. This is, I feel, really important because in Toronto, it was Lou Lamoriello as GM and then Shanahan as the president.
Yeah.
So Shanahan was kind of making the calls. But Toronto has a very unique organizational structure. They're professional. They do things a specific way there. And the Islanders, you're going to have Lou as president and as GM. We'll see who that's going to be,
Probably. Possibly
Garth Snow. Do you think there's just going to be an added prestige to the Islanders now that they're Lou comes in, and do you think it's going to be a new way they do business? That's the key word I want to hit on. Do you think the Islanders are going to transition more into just getting stuff done and winning, and that's their main priority, or will we start to see, some of the distractions off the ice like we've seen in the past?
Good question, and I've got two good answers. Yes, well, actually three good answers. Yes, yes, and yes. So, yes, it's going to turn things around because the Islanders now not a laughing stock of the NHL. They're not the... They've got some credibility here. They've got two owners that took them and have got this new arena. Again, I repeat that again. It's very, very key in this whole equation. Otherwise, they'd be in Hartford or somewhere else, right? So we'd be talking about this. And you also have to think about the what this brings to decision-making. No more friendship stuff, no more family things that go on with the Islanders. And it's all been good. It's a business. Lou wants to win. He's going to make some drastic changes. Some of them we may or may not like, but they're going to be in the best interest of the organization. So I'm thinking that, this move here is going to change the whole persona of the Islanders.
Yeah, and you touched on that perfectly. There have been some questionable, questionable practices conducted by the Islanders, and you hit it on the head. Family stuff, weird connections with John Ledecky and, these, contracts and just confusing stuff that makes you kind of question what's going on, especially with some contracts. Lou Lamoriello, he doesn't do that. He is just the most professional guy in the world. And you won't see these things that kind of make you say, why are they doing that as it's happening? It's always cool to be Captain Hindsight. Anyone could do that and look back at a move and look back at the Thomas Vanek trade and say, that was a terrible trade. But at the time, Garth Snow had good intentions. But with Lou Lamoriello, there aren't going to be those moves where you say, at the time, the moment of, why did they do that? He's just the epitome of just smart thinking, planning, and success. And I think we're just these bad contracts, these problems we've seen. I don't know if you want to touch on it, especially with the bad contracts. Lou doesn't do that. If anything, he gets teams to take Dion Phaneuf's contract. He gets teams to take these terrible contracts. How is he going to, especially with the cap, just bring in a whole new method to making the Islanders a great team again?
So he's going to evaluate the personnel from top to bottom. He's going to look at what has been the decision-making from scouting to player development, coaching, et cetera, all the resources that, training, all these things he's going to look at with the microscope. He's going to sit there and evaluate each one and come up with a practical decision and a practical solution that's best for all, which is the key here, because we all want a good hockey team out there. There are going to be some personnel and some people we know personally that might not be with us up the road, and we'll kind of look at that and say, well, gee, want to understand, we like this guy like that. Well, again, this is a business. It's about winning. It's about going for a Stanley Cup, and sometimes along the way you have to run it like a business. And I don't know if it's been run like a business, or should say, in all fairness, not very well like a business. It's been tried to be run very well, but hasn't quite succeeded. And again, you know, you go back to general managers in the course of the history with the Islanders. There's only been a couple, and most of these guys never really had the qualifications. And this is really not the player personnel, but this is the general managers who basically make all these decisions. So you go from Bill Torrey, Don Maloney. We talked about Darcy Rager, but he was only there for a short time. Mike Milbury, of course, Neil Smith gets the credit for being a general manager, but he only lasted a short time also, and then Gar Snow. So you really haven't had the proper people in charge to make these major decisions. They just don't have the credibility or the experience or the history of doing so. Lou is that person that does bring that to the table for the New York Islanders. This is a very, very good day for New York Islander fans. This team is going to move forward in the right direction with all the stars aligned.
Yep, and you say move forward. Doug Weight is someone who is coming from the past regime, and he's not just the new coach when he was named interim and then coach. He's been around for a long time in an assistant GM role and also the power play guy when the Islanders had some of the worst power plays I've ever seen. And Doug Weight, questionable guys, nicest guy in the world, so good with media.
Oh, of course.
But just on the ice, his system is questionable. So do you think Lou kicks him and gives him the boot and brings in one of his own guys like he's been known to do in the past? Or does he see Doug Weight out a bit and, you know, try a year with Doug Weight as coach?
So that's a great question. The answer might lie in time, but my instinct tells me he might just give Doug Weight a little bit of a chance, a little bit of a rope, see what he can do. I mean, he's been in this organization for a while. He does know the personnel. You know, in terms of his coaching ability and all that, I don't know. I mean, I like the guy. The results haven't been the best. There's been some ups and downs. But I think he's going to evaluate that question very carefully, and that may be a really key question that he has to answer. And then you have to look at what's out there right now that might be available to coach the Islanders for their situation. So I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to say perhaps he gives him a little more time before he goes out and gets what he calls that right guy, if Doug Weight is not that right coach.
Yeah, one thing, this is kind of my prediction. I think that Doug Weight, he gets a chance, and then the moment things start going wrong, like Lou has been known to in the past, I think Doug Weight loses his job, unfortunately. You know, nice guy, but I think Scott Stevens is his. Him and Scott Stevens have this connection. I think that Scott Stevens has already been rumored to be brought on board as an assistant, and Doug Weight has this kind of band of assistants. He likes his own guys. You put Scott Stevens in there, that's a different face. I think Scott Stevens, in my prediction, whether it's in 3 years or half a year, I think Scott Stevens is the next head coach of the New York Islanders. I don't know if you want to comment on that,
Stevens. That's a very good, very interesting, enlightening information, and you might be right about that. I'm not sure. I kind of know what you're saying about that. And again, you know, we have to go back and think about this very carefully. We need outside eyes into this organization, and a lot of the times it's been within the room. We need somebody outside observing from and looking and evaluating and looking what is really good for this team in terms of everything. And I think that Lou is just amazingly going to bring this to this team and turn it around. And the questions you're asking are such great questions, David.
Thank you.
And the answers just aren't there yet. But I think overall, regardless of what they amount to, it's going to be the right thing for this team to be in a position to compete on a daily basis. And especially if they can get Tavares signed. And if you do a couple other moves, you got that new arena coming up in a couple of years. And I also want to hit on something with the Long Island Rail. You know, there was a big discussion about, are they going to get the transportation system under control? So the Long Island president of the railroad, President Phil Lang, and this is what a quote from the other day from Newsday, just to give you an idea of the update on the transportation, which is really a big topic, believes has the potential to be a full-service transit hub, one that can accommodate the planned development at the site as well as meeting the needs of neighboring communities. Basically, as he said, quote-unquote, it's going to happen. So here's the president of the Long Island Railroad coming in, and this is a key equation to the Allen Arena, and it's a little off topic here, and he's saying, we're going to get this done. In 3 years, we're going to have the transportation going to Elmont.
Wow.
So all the stars aligned up for Islanders, new general manager, new arena coming up, get John Tavares signed, make a few tinkering changes, and boy, if you're an Islander fan, every night might be a great positive night to go to that arena and cheer for your team.
Yeah, great point. I love how you brought that up with the arena, because I've had some doubt. I think it's going to happen just because of it's politics partially, and in politics, when you have promises from these powerful men and you have the money invested in this, they're just, no matter what happens, there could be protests, there could be issues with transportation, they're just going to get it done. They're just going to put the money in and they're going to get it done no matter what. They'll bite the bullet and pay for it. Yeah, definitely. I think it is, and that will affect Lou Lamoriello getting free agents in. That will affect John Tavares' decision. It'll be great. So I really hope it happens, and I think it will, and I know you do too. So on to the general manager role. This is the big question. You have Garth Snow, who's still technically the general manager. He was in Denmark when Lou Lamoriello was talking to John Tavares. He wasn't involved at all in the announcement of Lamoriello. They're friends. This is something to keep in mind. Lou Lamoriello and Garth Snow are good friends. So that's important to keep in mind. But Garth Snow seems kind of like slowly being ousted from the organization. And Mark Hunter, Lou Lamoriello's right-hand man, and the Maple Leafs just parted ways yesterday. And Hunter has built a reputation as just a fantastic drafter and talent evaluator and really good with free agents and talent. But he was passed over for the Toronto GM role. He thought he was actually going to get it, so he didn't get it, and he left. Is he a potential next general manager, or do you think Garth Snow is going to be the guy?
Well, certainly Garth Snow is not going to be the guy, I can tell you that. There's no way he's going to stay in the same role that he's been with this organization. There's a good chance that they'll move him somewhere within the organization in some sort of a structured role that gives him some power. You got to remember his salary is just outrageous. He hit on that a few times. I think you've actually hit on that in your program in other broadcasts. Yeah, I mean, you know, Garth Snow, he's just, we all knew this. We have to say, we had to stand by his side because he was our guy. But, you know, we could think our thoughts. I think Garth Snow's out, no doubt. I'm going to think perhaps he'll be restructured in the organization to another position. I don't know if he wants to take all this job on with the presidency of the team and the GM. So, yeah, is that guy going to come over from Toronto? That's a question mark. I've been reading some social media, and it seems like they're saying no, there's no chance. But, boy, there was no chance. Lou was coming here about three weeks ago, and he's here. So who knows what can happen.
Yeah, and something important to keep in mind, he does have a clause in his contract where he cannot join another team until after the draft. But Lou can call him, work from, you know, basically Hunter can work from home, and they can work together. And I think really interesting you said that Garth Snow will not be the general manager, because Andy Graziano of WFAN, who I've talked to before, reputable guy, actually tweeted out that he expects that Garth Snow will be the general manager and will not be demoted in any way, but Garth Snow won't have as much power because Lamoriello will be calling all the shots. How do you feel about that claim and the contract? This contract is the bane of my existence as a fan. I feel like it's just, there's so much mystery around it. How will that play into it?
Yeah, the mystery is certainly quite great here at this point, because who knows really what's going on behind the scenes. We only have some speculation, so to speak, so we don't really have any kind of proof about anything. We know Garth's making a lot of money. Charles Wong went out of his way to, he likes this guy. Charles had deep pockets, and he had some big hopes and aspirations for this organization. And Garth was rewarded quite kindly. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say what's going to happen. I just don't know. I really don't see him being the GM anymore with all the public outcry from the fans, from basically the social media, all the negativity. Nobody wants that negativity to surround you. You keep a guy who's the GM, who's been the GM and doesn't have a good job, hasn't done a good job, and you have somebody above him telling him what to do. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So my guess is Garth Snow is going to be changed to a different position within the organization. And who would be the GM? That is a very good question, unknown at this time.
Exactly. But one thing the whole senior advisor role, that's what would be predicted that Garth Snow would move into. He'd be a senior advisor. He'd still be around the organization helping out in whatever way he could. And this contract, there seems to just be this notion that the Islanders have to keep him around until this contract's over. But Scott Malkin and John Ledecky, two very rich men, if they truly want to purge the pain and hardships of the last 12 years, why don't they just pay Garth Snow? And this is tough to say because I don't know how much Charles Wang promised him, but if it was, I'm sensing it was a lot, and I've heard rumors it was one of the greatest contracts ever given to a general manager. So that's scary. But why don't you just give him whatever money and just officially fire him, and then there'd finally be Lou Amarillo would have his team, and he has the power to just work his magic like he has in the past. Do you see that as a possibility? Because no one really is talking about that. Everyone's just saying that Garth Snow's going to have to stick around in whatever way he can.
Well, it's an interesting perspective, David. I'm going to say that, rethinking this a little bit, that's a possibility. It's actually one of the two things. He gets stripped of the GM role and gets released in the organization, as we discussed earlier, or they buy him out and he disappears and we start fresh with that deep pockets that the new ownership has. And again, they've gotten things done. You know, I've said it time and time again. Scott Malkin and John Ledecky are good business people, and they've gotten a lot done for this organization. So maybe it'd be best for everybody if we could actually get Garth Snow to ride off on a pony somewhere else. we can rid us of that kind of, plague that we've had, because that really has been somewhat of a plague. And again, in all fairness, but I've said this before, Garth Snow has not had much to work with.
Oh,
he really was under Charles Wong's blueprint for what he could do. He only had a limited pocketbook. There wasn't much out there. He couldn't do a lot. He did the best he could. So everybody has to remember that, down the road. You know, we don't like him now because we're not winning. And, whether John Tavares, how come he hasn't been signed? And lack of movement at the trade deadline, which really did surprise me, actually. I know we had that conversation. I think it was just after the deadline. We're hopeful the two or three guys that picked up would do something. It seemed like it was useless. That's a good possibility. And, hey, whatever's best for the organization, that's the most important thing. Whatever's best. But the positive thing here overall in the whole equation of everything is that the Islanders, for the first time in many, many, many years, are in the best ownership they've ever had. They've got a person, Lou, coming in to make these fantastic decisions. He's got a record that's impeccable. We have a new arena coming. We have the games in the interim between Brooklyn and the Nassau Coliseum being played almost equally coming up the next couple of years. All good stuff for New York Islanders. Just a couple of questions that aren't answered yet.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about the original plan was to have you on and talk about ownership, the history of ownership, but Lou Amarillo comes in, monumental news, so we're going to talk about that. But just personally for a second, just talking about you, I've had you on the show 3 times now, and everyone loves listening to you, but one thing I've heard is that, he's so positive, how can you be so positive when things are so terrible, blah, blah, blah. But the tide's starting to turn. People are starting to agree with this positivity that you're really giving off because of the new ownership, because of the new general manager, president of hockey operations. Lou Lamoriello coming in is going to be the moment where the Islanders fan base takes a complete 180-degree turn and starts to align with more of your views of positivity and things will work out, whereas before it was everything's terrible, everything sucks, we're a terrible team.
Yeah.
So important to point out, because you've been positive forever, but the fan base hasn't. But now they're starting to align, and finally with Lou Lamoriello coming on, there's hope.
There is. There's just a tremendous amount of hope here. And thank you for those kind words. I've always tried to tell everybody who's an Islander fan or anybody who believes in, just life in general, good things are there if you believe in them. And you've got everything lined up here perfectly for New York Islanders. Like I said, the stars are lined up. It's amazing. You would never think this. And again, you go back 3 years ago and they moved to Brooklyn and everybody says, okay, so we have to go to Brooklyn, or at least not sold. And here we are in Brooklyn, and, well, there are all sets of problems there that we all know, seating and sight lines and the whole bit, the commute, the 9 yards. And so that problem has been solved. It's just amazing, a series of events since the new owners have taken over this franchise. Again, I keep going back to that. I don't mean to be redundant, but it really is key to everything we're talking about today. And the positivity is knowing what you have. When you have owners who are making decisions to build you a new arena, to give you the best resources and chance to be competitive and compete for a cup, to bring in a person like Lou, which is amazing, because this is something, again, nobody thought could get done, and it is gotten done. So this ownership, time and time, has proven why there's good reason to be positive and be very optimistic about the future for the Islanders. Everything is just looking very bright. We just have to see what happens with John Tavares, see what Lou does in the off season to figure out where to put us in the right direction to steer the ship. And I think at that point, we'll get some of those answers. And when we're talking on the show, perhaps sometime during the season, we can sit back and look at our conversation tonight and say, you're probably right.
Yeah. So, again, thank you so much. I've been getting to know you so much. And we still have a lot to talk about today, but I do want to thank you right now because the positivity.
Thanks, David. I met you in the game a couple times, and we've hit it off. And again, it's a pleasure to be on the show. I greatly appreciate you giving me the chance to speak on behalf of the Islanders fan.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And just the positivity. People don't want to hear me come in from Islanders fans, Instagram, local people, or whatever beat writer, whoever I'm interviewing, and they don't want to hear negativity. So you've really helped me structure the show and just talk about the good things. Just like Shannon Hogan said, that's important because no one wants to hear you complain about the negative things. While it's important to talk about it sometimes, you know, talking about all the negatives all the time isn't good. And right now we have one of the greatest positives, literally in Islanders history, besides the dynasty, Lou Lamoriello coming in. It really is that important. So it's great to talk to you about it because this is a big day.
You know, you hit me at the right time. It's you know, like, again, all the stars are aligned here. You have me on the show at a good time. Again, just some positive things happening for New York Islanders. And I've been reading a lot about this. I try not to get into the social media because sometimes it gets a little bit personal. It can take a negative turn. It can be positive. I guess if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. And then there's always speculation. And I try to turn away from that negativity because it's unproductive and certainly not of any use. But again, we're in a good place as an Islander team here. Just very hopeful, positive thoughts going forward. Great ownership, great, Lou coming in here just makes that whole thing turn into a successful equation for good things for Islander fans to happen up the road. So, and again, thank you for your kind words.
Of course. And you just said it with the management, the organization. I think the organization also took a turn in that Scott Malkin was mentioned as the owner, and John Ledecky's name was completely left off in Lou Lamoriello's press conference. Lamoriello said, "I'm excited to join such a storied franchise and look forward to working with Scott Malkin." So, and he went on to talk about more of the entire organization, but didn't name Ledecky specifically. He named Scott Malkin. Is Malkin starting to emerge as the Islanders' main owner, where Ledecky is starting to take not a back seat, but maybe the passenger seat?
I don't think so. It's just simply each person has a role. John has been more of the public guy, doing the kind of rah-rah-rah, walking around the arena, getting to know the fans, trying to get some feedback, what he needs to give to Scott Malkin. You know, maybe it's a Batman-Robin thing, who knows. But, no, I don't think that's the case at all. I think John has his strengths. His strengths are very strong with his communication with the fan base, with the public in general. He's done nothing but just wonderful things over the last couple of years. You know, meeting the Islander fan on the train, or perhaps it could be somewhere in Brooklyn, wherever the case be. He always seems to show up, but I think he's showing up for a reason. He goes to a lot of these community things. He's really kind of like the workhorse behind the two duo. And I don't think that he's diminishing in his role whatsoever. I just think in this particular case, Scott Malkin was the person that had this assignment to go find Lou. And I think that's really what all it is, nothing more, nothing less. And again, I've met both these individuals, and they are fine, fine young people. They've had me up to the press box a couple times with them, and to their owner's box. They've been nothing but cordial. They want this team to be successful. That's the most important thing we all need to know. They care about the fan. They care about the organization, about everything with this team. So they're invested 100%, which is, as an Islander fan, great news.
That's interesting because I was actually expecting a different answer, and that's why I love speaking with you, because I was thinking that after this, you'd start to see Scott Malkin was the silent guy, and you didn't hear anything, and it was business ops versus showmanship, essentially. But one thing that I thought would change a little bit was Scott Malkin would emerge slightly more publicly and would start to emerge himself as the guy who was more like the Lou Lamoriello, who worries about hockey ops, whereas, you know, John Ledecky might have been, you know, a cheerleader community guy, someone who tries to boost the team and the community. So that's interesting that you said that. I don't think Ledecky's role is going to diminish essentially, but I do think Scott Malkin is going to start to come on as a greater role in the Islanders.
And you're absolutely right on that. And I'll tell you why, because he showed up a little bit more at Barclays Center, been a little more visible in the public, and that's something that he hadn't done in the past. So him showing up a little more shows he's a little more in the spotlight here and wants to have a little more control. John seems to be very well communicating with the public, and Scott Malkin seems to be more reserved about that kind of a thing, so it's more just a personality. But both of them are in it hand-in-hand, 50-50. It's a good duo. The good duo is doing the Islanders great things up the road here.
And one thing, the duo, you said that, and I think this was a turning point. You had John Ledecky, Garth Snow, and Doug Waite sitting at a table, and John Ledecky was giving a very almost salty, I think that's the term, he was very defensive, kind of speech almost, and then he didn't take questions, which we've talked about. That probably wasn't the right thing to do, but it happened, and that was embarrassing. Social media erupted, but not just Islanders social media. At that moment, that was the low blow. That was the low moment. The accountability, we're going to take our time to evaluate, that was the low moment. Do you think Scott Malkin might have looked at that from afar and just said, I need to step in and do something because the Islanders are not in the greatest place right now?
Yeah, good question, David. I'm not so sure that's the case here. I'm leaning more towards perhaps the situation was unsettled at the time, so there wasn't any Lou in the background here or anything of that sort.
Yeah.
So there wasn't much for him to go by. I think he was caught with a situation that says, well, we don't really know what we're going to do, so I can't say anything, so I can't say much, so let me say what I have to say.
Exactly.
And I really think that that was the case there.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think that's the fading of John Ledecky by any means. I just believe each person has a different role. And again, you know, John Ledecky's more of the social guy, likes to go out in the public. Scott's the guy who likes to stay behind the scenes, make major decisions. And different personalities is really what it comes down to.
Okay, really good point. I think that's important to keep in mind, that the Islanders, with Garth Snow, one of his perks, and this wasn't good for the fans, but it was probably good for the Islanders and the NHL, every move they made, everything you knew about, it was a surprise because they're good at keeping things in wraps and not leaking things. And I think that, you know, Lou Lamoriello might have been in the plans for a while, but exactly what you said, fans had no idea about it because he was just a dream at that point. So
a dream, exactly. Well, the dream is actually, if you pinch yourself, you can wake up from this dream because that's what it has been, a dream, but it's reality. That's the most amazing thing. Keep in mind here how big this is. It really is. Again, you might look back at this in a couple of years and think at this moment what happened in late May or mid-May and say, wow, I thought that was a great thing. It sounded good. You got new leadership and all, but boy, a couple of years up the road, things start happening, and you look at that date as a defining date in Islander history.
Yeah, definitely. And my father was, this is really funny, this is just a personal story, because my dad, he's listening to the show right now, and I think he'll laugh at this, but he has been saying that the Islanders should go after Lou Lamoriello for like 3 years. And whenever he texted me or told me, I was like, is this guy crazy? How in the world are we going to get Lou Lamoriello? This guy's in Toronto.
Exactly. You would never think it.
Exactly. And he kept on insisting on this. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Why do you keep thinking we're going to get Lou Lamoriello when we've had Garth Snow for 10 years? But finally, momentum started to pick up. And now he's probably like, I mean, he did tell me so because it's true. I just never thought it could happen. I just never did. It's a dream, like you said.
I didn't either, David. And that's a very nice story to share. Let me ask you a question quickly. Who else out there would you want to have in charge if it wasn't Lou? Who would be second? Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's tough because I think that the Minnesota Wild just hired the assistant general manager Paul Fenton. And I think that Paul Fenton was kind of my guy, my realistic guy, that I thought Paul Fenton has great history as an assistant general manager, and I think he'd be, you know, the realistic option. I didn't think we were going to go out and get the general manager of one of the most historic franchises in the NHL, which is the Toronto Maple Leafs, and get him to come to the New York Islanders. Just didn't seem possible. So I was looking at more realistic options like Fenton to come from an assistant general manager role and take over the Islanders, which I thought would be good at the time. But this is just beautiful to have Lou Lamoriello coming, and this is like best case scenario, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, and good insight on that. And perhaps you're probably right about that. And you go beyond that list. There's not a lot out there. There are some names you could name, but here's the top guy coming in. Man, I'll tell you, you're an Allen fan. You should be putting a little prayer, and saying thank God that we have got the right people running the show and the right management and personnel and all that. It's all going to work out great. Again, if I fast forward a couple years up the road, Belmont opens up, and here we are, and the trains are running, and all this nonsense we talk about. It's always, you know, nonsense. And here we are in good hands, and Islanders are one of those top teams, kind of like some of these four teams that are competing, well, I should say two now. Just whatever. And so, yeah, I mean, this is just a good situation for Allen. I mean, we're just again keep the shine on some brightness coming up, because I truly believe good things are going to happen. They've been happening, and they're going to continue to happen. And again, when we talk on the show sometime next year, and we see some improvement, and then perhaps in a couple of years, and you're at Hofstra into your third year of college or whatever, and the Islanders are playing in Belmont and they're starting to win and on the cusp of competing on a daily basis. That's what you have to think, really. That's the way to think about your team, because the positivity is more important than the negativity.
Yeah, I was thinking in 3 years, maybe we get Paul Fenton, Predators assistant general manager. It'll take a few years to transition, but we're getting Lou Lamoriello, one of the greatest, if not, I mean, he's up there with Torrey. He's up there with, he is sensational, and we're getting Lou Lamoriello to run the New York Islanders, so that is great.
And just a quick side note, real quickly, he had actually coached, I'm trying to think when it was, hold on, I have some notes here. He actually had coached for a year for the Devils, and let me see, it's back in 2005 and 2006, he was paired with Scott Stevens and Adam Oates, and he finished first in the Atlantic with 101 points, the Atlantic Division back then, of course, everything's changed, and he lost in the conference semifinals, so here's a guy who was not only good at the player personnel and all that role, but as a coach on the bench.
Yep, exactly. Perfect guy, and I'm so glad I was able to talk to you about it today. Thank you so much for coming on the show in perhaps one of the greatest weeks in Islanders history. Off the ice, I'd say it's right up there. This is just fantastic that we're getting Lou Lamoriello. So thank you so much for coming on the show and giving your insight into John Ledecky, Scott Malkin, ownership, and, of course, Mr. Lamoriello. So thank you so much, and I look forward to speaking with you in a few weeks about the John Tavares saga, which will hopefully be completed, and the NHL draft and some other things that the Islanders, led by Lou Lamoriello, which I never thought I'd be saying, will be getting into. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome, David. Thank you kindly also yourself.
Of course. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, so that was Patrick Dowd. Just, I love speaking with him. The most positive guy in the world, and after the trade deadline a few weeks ago, his positivity might have seemed not exactly crazy, but you know, you might have been thinking, how can he stay so positive? At this moment, we should all be thinking like Mr. Dowd and thinking the Islanders are in a great spot. Lou Lamoriello is a leader that we've never seen on this team before, and the times just right now, it's fantastic, and I'm so excited for the Islanders to finally take a turn. They're turning the page, and we're going to see a new New York Islanders. So thank you so much for listening to Destination Hockey. We are your destination for all things hockey in local Hunterdon County, on Long Island, and the United States, if you'd like to hear about all hockey. So thank you so much for listening to the show, and I hope you guys all have a great night.